Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord. Stay tuned for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
If you've never been brought to that place where you realize if he doesn't save you, you're lost. That's your need right now. I pray for anybody who hears this, you have never been brought to the reality that you need a Savior or you are lost. Amen. And I pray that that will come. That's a step. That's not where God wants to take you and leave you. But you've got to go through that. There's no point in trying to claim salvation if you don't know what you need. Folks, I was a helpless sinner. I don't care if I was born in a preacher's family or not. I was just as helpless a sinner as somebody who's in jail, in prison for murder. Paul was a murderer. And God saved him as an example of what he can do. But oh, praise God. But this is salvation, and I need to understand what he's asking of me here in the context of somebody who needs supernatural intervention in my life. Yes, there is something that I have to work out, but it means, oh God, I am completely dependent on you every moment, every day. It's not like you can instruct me and I say, I'm good with that, and I'll just go and do it. It doesn't work that way. I need help. So that's why the verse goes on to say, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Now you see something more fleshed out. It's one thing to say, he's going to work in me. He began to work. He's going to finish it. This is what's going on right this morning. There's a God who is at work in me and in you today. Praise God. Okay, so he's told me what I'm supposed to do. Now let's see, what are my issues? What do I have to overcome? Well, the first one is, I don't want to. You know, you can tell people a whole lot of things about what the kind of person God wants us to be, but the reality is our wills don't want to do that. We can find every excuse in the book for not doing it, for sidestepping that requirement, because look how they did. Look, you know, there's 1,001 reasons, but none of those stand up. God has to work. I'll guarantee there are issues in every person's life here where you know you ought to do something or be something, but you're really not willing if you're going to be honest about it. Am I telling you the truth? Well, what's the answer to that? Where do we go with that? There's a God who is at work. That work, that energy, by the way, that word work there is the word from which we get our word energy. How many of you need some divine energy this morning? Of course, we'd like the divine energy that would make our spine tingle and give us a high, but I'm talking about energy to be what he wants. Well, one of the ways he's going to express that energy in our lives is by dealing with our wills and getting us ready, getting us where we are willing. Okay, God, I'm fighting you on this. I just don't want, I can't. I did 1,001 reasons. But don't worry, if you're his, God's going to conquer that will of yours. And you know the expression, you can come the easy way or the hard way. May God help us to come the easy way and recognize. See, Paul wanted them to understand what's the process that was happening. So we're not just blindly blundering along, wondering why this, why that. God wants us to understand. Because when we do, we can say, oh, I get it. You want me to be this way, and this is against my nature. Everything in me fights that. But Lord, you've got the energy to change my will, so I'm willing. Being willing is a choice. God doesn't make that choice for us, but he can sure give you what it takes to make the choice. See? Okay, so I'm willing. But there's another part of that. Doing it. Now I've got to actually put that into action. I'm scared. I can't. 1,001 issues that the devil wants to raise to hinder us, to hold us back. So God first works on my will and my want to. And then when the time comes to do it, he energizes, he injects energy. How many of you have been in a situation where you just were struggling to do something and finally it came to you, I've got to step out in faith. I can't wait for some kind of a shock or something or a sign from heaven. I've just got to do what he said to do. Well, are we not, when we do that, we know it's him, we know it's what we're supposed to do, can we not trust the God who started a work and is going to finish it to do what it takes now? He is active right now. That means if I push the button, their power is going to flow. And I guess it's, time, and how many times have I told the account of Corrie Ten Boom, who went through all that she did in the Nazi camp and then was going around holding meetings, telling people over and over again, there's no pit so deep that the love of God is not deeper still. And there she was, and then all of a sudden at the end of one of the meetings, she recognizes the man who walks up to her. He was one of the wickedest, cruelest guards in that camp. He would beat people. He would beat the women, helpless women, torment them, kill them. This was a pure devil-inspired individual, and he's walking up. And he's talking about how God had changed, had come to him and changed his heart. And I just wanted to meet you and ask your forgiveness. You think she didn't have something to overcome? You think she didn't need some divine energy? Oh, I can't. I remember, so it's still in my mind, all the things he did. Oh, God. But finally, it just came to her, okay, I'm willing, but all this ability to even do it. I said, all right, I'm going to stick my hand out. I can do that much. I can physically lift my hand and stick it out to shake his hand. And as soon as she did, divine love just flowed. And there was a bond between a brother and a sister in Christ in spite of everything that had happened. I'll tell you, if we ever get to the point where God puts his finger on something in our lives and we make the choice to agree with him and say, not my will, but yours be done. And then we step out and we do the thing that we know we're supposed to do. God is going to come on the scene. There's going to be divine energy. That's a salvation process is going to be carried forward. But remember how this connects with the rest of the book. It's all a work of God. Praise God. Well, we can be brought to the point where we'll do the right thing. How many of you have been in the process where you finally humble yourself and you agree to do the right thing, but you're not happy about it? Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Well, we're full of that. Again, I'll do it, but I don't have to be happy about it. But God wants us to be so in tune with what he wants and his nature. It's there. The power is there. Christ is there if we just lean upon him and say, not my will, but yours be done. God will inject the energy that it's needed to do that. But are we willing to make the choice not only to do the right thing, but to have the right spirit about it? I'll tell you, there's a God who will help us if we're just willing to humble ourselves in that. Everything without grumbling or arguing. Oh, my God, we're so full of that. Now, what's the result of that? So that you may become, wow. Am I going to get through this? I'm going to try to at least hit the highlights. Do everything. Okay, I said that. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. God is wanting to put his life out on display. One of the reasons, apart from working in us, is there for us to still be here? What reason was there for Paul to still be here? There were things God wanted to accomplish through Paul. There are people God wants to reach. What good does it do for us to have the right words and the right doctrines and not the right life? That's what God is working in every one of us. But we need to have that same confidence that the God who has started it, he's here right now to help me be that person. It isn't just about the big picture. It's about me now with the issues of my life. There's a God who's at work. Praise God. Well, he goes into a bit of stuff about Timothy and Epaphroditus, and I want to come, and you heard he was sick and all those kinds of things. But then we come to the passage we've often used where the question of where do I get my confidence, and it's certainly not in my own ability to do anything. And that was the corruption Satan tried to bring into the church, was Jews who could not let the law go. They saw it as a pathway to righteousness when Christ came to fulfill the law and leave it in the past and bring about righteousness another way by living in us and beginning to conform us from the inside. It's a matter of the heart. So Paul reached the point where he looked at all of his earthly qualifications and said, God, fellas, it's garbage. All the things that are so valued by so many, as far as I'm concerned, throw it in the trash. I got Christ. That's all I need. Folks, I'm so glad I can leave it all in the trash. Everything that isn't of him, that's of me, I can just put it aside. That's not what makes me, that's not what qualifies me with him. I have Christ. And he's given me a right standing with God that I could never, ever attain. Praise God. Praise God. And so not only do I have this amazing person called Christ who's done this for me, I get to know him. It's not just I want to know about him. I want to know him. I want to experience. And the pathway to experiencing resurrection life is what? It's death, isn't it? It's being willing to die and to let go of all that is earthly about us and to embrace what he has given, the new life, and to live that out in its place. And so Paul says, I want to experience that. My goal is to experience resurrection life to its fullest right here. I've got to let all that other go. As far as I'm concerned, that's something that can die. I'm letting it go. And of course, this is where he goes into the fact that I haven't got all this. I'm still in the process, right? We've used that so many times. But I want us to see it again in the context of the whole book. Not that I've already obtained all this or already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, I mentioned the fact that there's a devil out there who rules this world system, who absolutely will fight against every part of this. This touches on one of the areas where the devil is at work. I wonder if we could see in the spirit, how many of us would look like Marley's ghost? Okay, go watch the Christmas Carol sometime if you don't know what I'm talking about. What was Marley's ghost covered with? Chains. What were the chains? All the deeds, all the evil deeds that he'd done in his life. Well, we're not to that point. But Paul says something amazing there, forgetting what is behind. How do you do that? And this is where the devil really takes a lot of us down. I mean, we've said it so many times, but I guarantee there's people right now, there's stuff in your past you have not let go of. You cannot get up in the morning and be free to look to Christ for the moment, for that moment, and to face the day casting all of the stuff upon him and saying, praise God, I'm in a state of peace. Everything from my past is resolved. And of course, there are many kinds of things, but a lot of it is my own weakness and failure. Oh, I'm so bad. I've done so much. I've done this. I've done that. I could never be this kind of person he wants me to be. Oh, poor me. How many of you think that's what we're how we're supposed to live? Does that wisdom come from him? Did Jesus not die for all of our sins? All of them? Is he not able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Is there a single thing from our past that we have not do not have the right as God's children to bring to him, to be honest about, but to leave them at the cross and to come to a place where it is as if we've never done it? It's not a matter of saying, well, I don't care. You know, I did that, but I don't really care about it. No, we care. But there's a resolution that God has provided for at the cross where we can be honest, we can care, but we can leave it there. Take your burden to the cross and leave it there. Did he come to save a people in their chains and leave them bound and say, fight the good fight of faith, drag those chains behind you? No. We got enough to deal with in the moment, in the days to come and all of that. We got all that to deal with. We don't need to drag our past. But here's Paul saying, I can get up every morning. I got this. I understand salvation enough to say, I can leave that in the past. And of course, the other thing is all the stuff that's happened to me and all the ways I've been treated, the people who've wronged me. Oh, poor me. I was right and they were wrong, and I won't ever forgive them unless they come and apologize. I'll guarantee there's plenty of people here right now that are not free from something that's happened to you, something that somebody did to you. And you've never been free emotionally from it. How many of you believe God wants to set you free? And so we talked about God working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Better start with the will, because that's the problem with so many of us. We don't want to let it go. We feel entitled to our pain, entitled to our chains. But there's a God who has broken every chain. He brings his people out of prison houses. He doesn't want a congregation of Marley's ghosts. He wants a people who can let the past go. How many of you know that this issue of being able to start fresh every morning and not have the past that's dragging, hanging off of us, how many of you know that's a choice? And it's a choice that we have the power to make if only we will. Whether it's forgiveness for somebody else or just a resolution that I'm not going to hold that in my heart. I'm not going to be dragged down. I don't care what they did. Suppose Jesus had gone through his life taking things personally. Despised, rejected of men. How dare they? Oh, the emotional burden that I carry. Oh, God, they're wrong. I'll forgive them if they ever straighten up. He was free from that to the point where he could weep and pray and say, Father, forgive them. How do we do that? Certainly you can't look inside for human nature. We're going to have to be willing to be his people. We're going to have divine energy, even to make us willing to do that and then actually do it. There's a lot of people right now that God longs to set free. His power is here. It's at work. This is one of the ways that it needs to be at work so that we can be free from him, to serve him. And then we can press forward and reach. We got enough to deal with, like I said. And of course, that's where you come. I'll jump ahead. But the scripture that we use so many times, you know, he does talk about our destiny. Talks about all that God's power is going to do, that we'll serve him and we'll look forward to him. At the end of chapter 3, he's going to transform our bodies. It's going to be glory when he finishes that job. Praise God. You see how it all ties together. But then, of course, you get into the passage we often use, and it was brought up Wednesday night, about rejoicing in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. So you see, on the one hand, the devil has you looking back, clinging to things from the past, unwilling to let them go, not unable. God will always make us able if we're willing, but unwilling to let them go. But now I'm free from that. The devil says, oh boy, I got to figure out something. But what about now? Oh, I can't. I'm afraid of this. What if this happens? And 1,001 anxious thoughts about what's about to happen and what hasn't happened yet. And so many times this has been so well brought out, how God wants us to be able to come and lay that burden at the cross and say, Lord, I know you got this. I'm going to enjoy your peace. I'm going to rely on your power to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to make the choices confident that the God who started this work, you're right, you're here now. It's not just this vague general concept. You, the God who is at work, you're at work in me right now to make right choices, to leave the past, to not worry about the future, but commit it into your hands and just trust in you. Does that sound like a pretty good message from the Lord to the people? Do you see the connection? God is at work. What he longs for us is to understand and to grow in our understanding. It's to live a life that honors Christ, that expresses his life and not ours. That's going to be seen as we walk together in this perfect unity because we're all energized by the same Spirit. And it's going to be in such a way that the world will see and they will know that there's something different about these people. It's a witness of God. How do we do that? We've got a God who works with our will and our ability to do something. What he's looking for from us is to make the choices to say, yes, Lord, I believe in your work. I believe in the energy that you're going to inject. You are injecting into me right now. You're here. Your power is at work right now to help me to be the person you've called me to be. And by your grace, I'm going to do it. And I know there's more, and I'm after it. That's what my life is about. Lord, I want everything you have for me. And I refuse to let the past drag me down or be anxious about the future. It's all in your hands, Lord. Praise God. It's not the simple little three-point sermon, is it? But is that a message? You got the high points there. But do you see how the message that God gave through Paul? I have all ideas that they read this whole thing in one gathering. But do you see how it would have painted a picture? You know, we can see a beautiful picture one time, but if we just zone in on one tiny little thing, we can say, man, that's great. Look at the detail. That's wonderful. But God wants us to step back sometimes and see how that little detail fits into the big picture. And I believe God wants everyone to know that the same God who called you, set you on the path to his kingdom, he's here right now. There's nothing in your life, past, present, or future, that he's not concerned about. He is actively working in us to help us make the right choices, to give us the power to do what he's told us to do. And he's going to be with us all the way to the end, and we're going to stand there in glory one day. So be encouraged, be enlightened. That's for you, that's for me. But you're welcome to join with me if you want. Isn't God wonderful? Isn't his salvation amazing? May God give, I mean, there's nothing we haven't said 1,000 times, but I just hope that the bigger picture is kind of emerged to see how these wonderful truths connect one with another. Praise God. So that's it. Lord bless you.
This has been the Midnight Cry broadcast. If you would like a DVD or CD of today's message in its entirety, please request it by program number. While it is not required, a donation of $10 for DVDs and $5 for CDs is suggested to help with expenses. Also, for those who request it, we will send you our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, free and postage paid. Send your requests to Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina, 28388. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time, and may God richly bless you until then.